Now, look, I think there's a touch of holly to all of us at the moment, because we're looking forward to Christmas, but obviously there's kind of anxiety and around it and uncertainty. And I think a lot of new dilemmas to be navigated again this Christmas as well. So our agony aunts are here to help. Anne Ingle, author and mother of Roisin, welcome.
Hiya, Brendan.
Roisin Ingle, Irish Times columnist and daughter of Anne Ingle. Yes. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you both
aunts,
for coming
amazing.
In. Yeah. So now, guys, if we start with, I think people are, they're a bit upset about the children now. The masking was another layer of it, I suppose. But people feel the idea of cutting back on their little social lives, even though most of them have better social lives than us, Roisin, but
yeah,
but I worry that, you know, that it's damaging their development at this stage and everything. As a parent, Roisin, how are you managing it?
Yeah, I'm just trying to balance it all. I brought you in a little word that I thought would be useful. Susie Dent has been giving us lovely words all through this pandemic, your woman off Countdown, and she has a word called dumbfungled, which is an old 18th century word, which
right.
means worn out, used up and approaching stupefaction. And I think that's where many of us are at the moment, and
yeah.
exhausted, but not just exhausted, sort of beyond exhausted. So that's the kind of stuff I'm feeling and from talking to friends. And then the thing
that
this week,
people are punch drunk, essentially.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then this week with the, for me anyway, and I know it's not the end of the world, the masks in schools, and I know it's for good reasons, so I'm not going to be one of those people. But I did find it difficult sending my kids off this week for the first time wearing masks in schools. It was sad for me. I felt sad for them. I tried not to let them see it. I was being upbeat for them. But I do get the sense of other parents as well, mothers and fathers and guardians all around the place, just feeling like, OK, this is another level. So that was difficult. And then, but, you know, I'm trying to balance it, because I can see in them, like, the joy is over the last 2 years in their lives has been minimized, you know.
Yeah.
And it's awful, because whatever about us, we've had loads of fun, Brendan, you know what I mean? We've had crack, we've lived our lives.
Like Marco, we're ready for the garden, no pruning the roses.
Or your man Jeremy Clarkson on the farm or whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, they're at the start of it. They're the magic times. And so I have made a decision. I just want to find that joy wherever I can. And so this week we went to the theatre. And I know, again, from talking to friends, that's not something everybody would be doing. There's some people who are not doing that. But I decided to go. We went to Mabel's magnificent flying machine in the gate. And I swear to God, I didn't expect it. But it was this little non-COVID bubble. And you don't realise how much it's in your bloodstream. And even if you're not thinking about it, it's in the ether. But to be in the theatre with all these kids sitting on beanbags, sort of heckling Katrina Ennis, who plays Mabel in this beautiful
play.
All
the restrictions being
all the restrictions were done. Oh, yeah, no, it was really safe.
Done.
It felt safe. Sorry. I don't want to do anything that's not seemed to be safe.
Absolutely.
But what I'm talking about is the joy and the laughs and the fun and the ad-libbing that the kids were doing. And he kind of went, oh yeah, we just need more of that. And it's where to find that, I suppose, is the thing. Because, as we know, everything's being cancelled. Even their concerts, their little concerts that they've been rehearsing for online, offline all year are not going to happen, you know?
Yeah. But I suppose what you're saying is, get a little bit of it where you can. Be discriminating. I think a lot of people at this stage, Anne, are negotiating things with their own common sense, Anne, aren't they? That seems to be, and people are finding an accommodation with the rules. What's the, let me have the wisdom of the grandmothers on the children now and how they are and everything.
Well,
look, they're managing fine with masks in loads of other countries.
Yes, I just
everything.
Feel sorry for, I have one grandchild who wears glasses. And she's finding it a little difficult. You know, the steaming up business when you put the masks on and you've got glasses, it's hard. You've probably experienced that yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I feel sorry for her with that. But generally speaking, do you know, children are very adaptable and they don't get down on the dumps. Their lives, they've got their books and they've got their games on the computer. So the ones I'm seeing are still chipper enough and not taking it too much to heart, thank goodness.
Yeah, so you think they're resilient?
Yeah,
enough,
I think they're resilient.
Like,
I mean, I wanted to go to the Urine Giant shop the other day, and my two grandchildren said, oh, I'll take you, Nanny. And I used to take them places, but now they take me because I have the walking stick, so they looked after me.
Yeah.
So we went to the Euro Giant together, and they were the ones who were looking after them. And I had a disaster in there, actually, because I bought some wrapping paper, Brendan.
Right.
And it was really sparkly. No Christmas stuff on it. I thought it'd be neutral, but it was really, looks lovely. I bought pink and blue. And yesterday I started to pack up some presents that I was sending to the UK, and the sellotape wouldn't stick to the paper.
Oh.
I don't know why. The paper was...
You're supposed to be the agony aunt who's actually helping people with their dilemmas.
This is my first world problem.
I don't need to hear your problems. They've got problems. We're helping them. You've a lot to learn about being an agony aunt and Indian.
You're going to have to. I know,
but you're going to have to... You're going to have to meet me halfway here.
We're going to grow into it. We're buying our Christmas tree this weekend as well. I think a lot of people are doing that. And that's bringing us joy.
Is that earlier than you normally would?
No, it's actually a bit later. I was expecting to do it... So we just didn't get it together, but this weekend it has to happen. It's going up. We're getting all the boxes are down. I love that bit of Christmas, and that no one can take that away from us. That opening up, seeing which ones are bloody broken in the meantime, and the ones that we love, the new ones that we've sneaked in, even though we said we're never buying any more. And I love seeing people's pictures of not their perfect Christmas trees. I don't want to see any perfect Christmas trees. I want to see the ones that are all bockety and wonky and have weird sort of decorations on them. That's the ones I want to see.
Yeah, I can't believe that 2 years in we're back to this kind of let's find a bit of joy. We will do it. Yeah. Now, look, next dilemma, and I think this is a big and growing one for lots of people, is visiting or not visiting at Christmas, intergenerational mixing, that phrase is being used again. And I think a lot of grandparents, you know, they've said it all the time, but they're really saying it at this stage is, look, I take a chance. Like, this is not living if I have to live like this. So, and you know.
Absolutely. I really feel that. I mean, I would kiss and cuddle all my grandchildren with no problem. And I know not everybody feels like that, but I am just one of those people who I'm not an optimist rather than a pessimist. And I welcome the idea of getting together at Christmas with some of the grandchildren I don't see too often, and I'm just looking forward to it. So yeah,
and you're boosted, I'm not afraid. I presume, I'm not Luke afraid. Is very much saying that grandparents who are boosted need not worry.
Yes, so I'm three times vaccinated.
Well, listen, you're dunner than done. You can't be any more done at the moment.
Exactly.
Okay. Roisin, there is going to be issues for people around family coming home from abroad at Christmas, and then look, people have made choices that they're entitled to make about vaccination and stuff. But I suppose then if other people are going to be impacted by those choices, I think a lot of people are having that worry about friends and relations coming. You were writing about it recently.
Yeah, I mean, I have a few unvaccinated relatives and a couple of friends as well. And that's something that, you know, I think a lot of people are having to navigate. And I know, I was speaking to one friend of mine about my unvaccinated relative who's actually coming to stay, and she was saying a no in certain terms of she would shoot him rather than let him anywhere near my mother, for example. So that was, she was joking, but she wasn't kind of. And I know there's a lot of people who think, why would you? Those people are too selfish and all of that. And I understand it. But I've just made the decision that I don't want this pandemic to be something that I fall out with people over, or that I treat people as if they're somehow kind of unclean or unwashed around. That's just me. That's my perspective. And so I am welcoming somebody into my home for a few weeks over Christmas who isn't vaccinated. And okay. I'm
happy
with that decision.
Have you had a negotiation around this and around the rules of Tom and everything?
Well, yeah. I mean, in terms of, I mean, mother is happy to be around this person as well. So so that was something that I did check in about. But also, funny enough, I think we find with a lot of unvaccinated people, they're very, very strong views around the thing. So I have made a rule that while they're here in my house, we're not going to talk about COVID at all. So that's going to be great, because that means that we don't risk getting into all those subjects that are going to inevitably cause difficulty. For me, that's the bigger deal, having to talk and listen to stuff that maybe I don't want to, or that I don't want my kids to have to hear at Christmas time, especially when we're trying to be in this tinsely bubble, you know. So I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'll let you know how it does get on.
I'm going to firm it up, because you're supposed to be an agony aunt. So what you're suggesting to people on the broader scheme of things is, let's all agree not to talk about COVID at the Christmas dinner, at the Christmas gatherings, at family get-togethers.
Well, I think where there's people who have very strong views, and we all know what they are because we've heard them and we've seen them and we see them on social media, I don't think it does anybody any good to get into it. I've experienced it, and you just go down this rabbit hole. A lot of the time you don't even know what they're talking about because you haven't seen all the stuff, so you can't even come back with logical arguments. And so it just becomes this very empty, unhappy, miserable conversation that goes nowhere, that at least one person's going to end up feeling a little bit uncomfortable, and you could be feeling very angry afterwards. So what's the point of that? Like, why would you go there? So I think it's really nice that everyone agrees to not talk about it. Then we can be a bit of fun, and we go, oh, we won't go there, or, you know, rather than, because inevitably it's going to happen. It's going to be not good news, and that's what I've decided to do. Okay. I think maybe that's not for everyone, and maybe people want to have big discussions over the Christmas dinner table about it, but I don't.
Yeah,
that's
and look, some people also are not going to want unvaccinated people in the house over. There's a texter here says, my family is having a big row about the vaccine stuff. Everyone is entitled to their own views on vaccinations, but there are extra risks involved in intergenerational mixing. But I'm interested, Anne, to hear Roisin say that as a, can I call you a vulnerable person? You're about as vulnerable now as I am. Like, but you're okay with an unvaccinated person around at Christmas?
Well, not all unvaccinated people.
I got you.
Vladimir delivers my parcels to the door from DHL, and I don't go near Vladimir because I don't know whether he's vaccinated or he's not vaccinated. And I know this relative we're talking about, this person I haven't seen for 2 years. That's a long time not to see a relative for 2 years. And I feel I will have to, I want to see him and be in his company. So whilst I appreciate the views of a lot of people who would say, like, Roisin's friend, shoot him. But no, I can't do that. It's 2 years, it's too long a time, and who knows how much time any of us have in this world. So I will embrace him and I'll be in his company, and you know. But
so you're making a calculated cost benefit.
I am, yes, in this particular case, but not in all cases. And you know, when we're out on the street, we don't know the people beside us whether they're vaccinated or not. They don't have a sign on their head, I am not vaccinated, you know. So, you know, we're meeting them irrespective. You know, we don't know exactly if they are or they're not. But
Roisin, you did a Twitter poll on this, and I think what came out of it for you mainly is that the people have very, very strong opinions about this, don't they?
Yeah, I was just curious to see, was I really in the minority? And I think I kind of am, which, you know, that's fair enough. I think people are just very, I don't want to say, I think COVID has made us all very judgmental. So I put myself in that bracket too. I think it's made us looking around, the curtain twitching is at a high level, and that's understandable to a lot of a degree. But I think I'm in the minority. I think a lot of people are saying they won't be around. And I've heard stories from my unvaccinated friends and relatives where they have been kind of shunned by their families, where they're not getting the birthday cards they used to, where they're not getting. So I, personally, I don't know if it's worth it to fall out with people over this. So when it's over, because it will be over, and I know it doesn't seem like that ever, but it's going to be over.
Yes.
Do you want to have a trail of, you know, broken relationships behind? Yeah. I just don't. So that's what I'm making.
I think there is
a lot
of strain in friendships. Claire here texting to say COVID is the rock. A lot of friendships have perished on unnecessarily. She thinks Roisin is so right. And going back to what Roisin was saying about maybe banning COVID conversations or contentious ones around the table, you're switching off the news a little bit, are you, or limiting it?
I am, yes. I usually listen to RT radio in the morning, but once they've done that bit about what this paper said, I turn it off and put it onto Marty Whelan and Lyric FM and just forget about it, because really it's too much. It really is too much. And even BBC Radio 4.
Was it feeding your anxiety?
Was
it feeding anxiety in you?
Just boredom, total and utter. Had enough of this nonsense, you know. Let's move on to real life. And Marty doesn't do COVID. I don't think he just carries on, you know, whatever he feels like playing. And he says terrible jokes. But you have to laugh at him.
And also Christmas FM is on now, which is wall-to-wall Christmas tunes. I know, I don't want to be like, you know.
Yeah, stop. What are you doing?
Lots of options out there.
The worst agony I've ever. The solution to them is turn to another channel. No, Roisin.
Sorry, no, not at all.
At least I'm sticking with
RT. I'm back on message. Yeah, no, listen to RT all day.
No, but Marty's great crack.
Yeah, yeah, so. Marty's in the
stadium. He's part of the family. He's part of the family.
Marty. And in terms of older people, are they nervous again about being out and about, do you think?
Yeah, a lot of people are. I know that. I mean, I recently met a friend and instinctively went to put my arms around her, and she went like this, as if, you know, I was had the plague or something. So I know a lot of older people are very nervous. I'm not so nervous. I have my mask, I do all the right things, and I've got on the buses, and, you know, I'm trying to keep going as normal as we can, like, you know.
And
it's funny you say about everybody should have their point of view. I mean, I've been bombarded with all these anti-vax messages from certain people in my circle, and it's impossible to negotiate exactly what Roisin says. You can't talk back because you don't understand, and to me it's just plain and simple, get vaccinated is a simple message. But so many others just, not so many, a few others don't agree. But it's difficult to talk to them. You just can't talk to them.
They would, I suppose they would wear you down.
They wouldn't, but they'd try.
And as you say, it can be hard to argue back if you haven't read all this stuff and everything. Now, look, I don't want to get too bogged down in grief or anything, but I suppose Christmas is a difficult time for people grieving. And was it always a difficult time for you after your
husband died? I was just talking to Roisin on the way in here. I have not very many regrets in my life, but the one regret I do have is that I didn't help my children to remember their father at Christmas time the way some people do. I just kind of got on with it. I remember the first Christmas after he died, I still had my faith then and I went to Mass, but I could only stay there 10 minutes and I came out in tears. And that was the first Christmas. But I never said to the children, think about your father. We just got on with life. Yeah. And I kind of regret that because I think if I'd have had more knowledge and I've had some counselling and help or something like that, we would have managed it better. But he was just never talked about. And It's sad. I've recently lost a friend. I was talking to her on Tuesday and 2 weeks later she was gone. She's dead. And that's very sad. And I'm sure I will remember her at Christmas because we always got together at Christmas and had a good time. And she always used to keep me informed of what was on the television, on the radio, because she could read the BBC Radio Times and then also the RTE Guide. Yeah. And that was my one link with her. And I was on the phone to her two or three times a week. June Finnegan is her name, and I'm going to miss her desperately.
Are you at that age now where your cronies are kind of dropping one
by one?
That
is terrible. It's so awful, you know. This is a vibrant person. She would be the one that got us all together for our Christmas lunch, you know. Yeah. She was the key person, and we all loved her so much. And she's gone. It's very hard. And, of course, you look at your own mortality when these things come, selfish as we all are. You say, oh, God, there she's gone. Which one? I always used to say, in theory, or which one of us will go first and laugh about it. But, you know, now it's actually happened.
There. God, yeah.
But she was a lovely woman and I'll miss her very much.
Yeah. Roisin, I'm surprised at that about your dad because I would have thought that you're so emotionally intelligent and all that kind of thing that you grew up in a very, like, Marco Pierre White's father never talked about the mother afterwards. He became this pressure cooker of kind of whatever. But
I think mother's been a bit hard on herself there because I think mother's way of coping and getting us all along and the reason we all did get on and carry on our lives was because she had that spirit, like that optimistic spirit, and it wasn't about being maudlin or dwelling. And I know why you regret it now, because I do think it's a bit weird that at Christmas time we didn't say go and visit a grave or mention or think, oh, what would daddy be thinking, or what, you know, that kind of stuff. That is strange, but I do feel like there was a good motivation behind it. But no, we really didn't talk about it, and I do think that is something that maybe I certainly think for me, I'll give you the counselling bills, Mum, but I definitely had to work that out later on, maybe when things are pushed down and they're not out in the open for good reasons, that it's not good. Can I just say one thing about the vaccination thing, Brendan? Yeah. I think it's really important. Yeah. The people I know who aren't vaccinated, they're really intelligent people. They're really good friends of mine or good relatives of mine, people that I love very much, people who have very strong views that are very important to them and very real to them and meaningful. Because I think sometimes we can put everyone in one box and make out that they're all woo-woo and they're all just, you know, they've drunk the Kool-Aid. But I just want to say that in case I didn't make that point strongly enough. It's not that I agree with them, but I respect them as people.
We don't want to dehumanise them.
I really feel that very strongly because I don't think that's useful and I don't think that's helpful for anybody.
I agree with you.
And I don't think we in any way were suggesting that either, you know. And I think also all the science and everything we know is telling us that everyone should get vaccinated for themselves and also for the sake of everyone else. Can I ask you a question that's come in on text, Anne? So this person says, my grandmother has been jabbed, right? 3 times, but she's still nervous. We have to respect her position, even if she is protected. I think people feel differently about safety coming out of this. Any advice from Anne about speaking to my gran? And I think getting her back out there and getting her more confident in herself.
Yeah, I think you should take the plunge, you know. I mean, I don't find it easy now. Opening the front door is hard. And, you know, I'm really happy when I get back to that front door after I've been on one of my little expeditions.
Are you? Yeah.
I really am. Yeah, I love the security. Again. Yeah, I feel safe again. But at the same time, I pushed myself and I got on the bus and I went to have lunch with my granddaughter who's studying in Trinity. And that was such a joy. I got to a bus stop that I knew was near the restaurant we were going. So I only had a little bit to traverse. The restaurant was wonderfully clean and all protected, all the things, you know, over there. And we sat and had a lovely lunch. And I really felt happy after that. I'd got a connection with the world, connection with her. We had a lovely lunch. And I would encourage everybody to try and get over this and get it out of your head. And what's the worst that can happen to you? Really and truly, if we do get it, we are protected so much that, you know, and most everybody out there is 93% of the population is vaccinated. Yeah, so yeah. We're all in the same boat.
But am I sensing there, though, that you made a plan and that actually helped you feel confident about it, that you knew where you were going, where the bus stop was, you knew the place. A bit like if you have a kid, sometimes you give them a social story about this is what's going to happen when we go out.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
I knew where the bus stop was, where the restaurant was, how I was going to cross the road to get back to where, you know, on the bus home. And I did it all and it was all okay. All right, you get the sigh of relief when you get to the front door and say, well, that was grand, all happened. But at the same time, I would encourage everybody to get out there. Mind you, it's difficult going into shops. I must say that I find that difficult with the masks and everything, especially wearing the glasses and having the eyes not so good and the bad knee. But I go in the shops. I bought my Christmas cards and I went to the post office and got all the stamps. Just get on with life. Yeah. Don't let
but
it stop
yeah,
you.
Okay, but you're having to make the bit of effort
to do it. You have
to
talk yourself
Brendan,
into it.
That was good agony aunting, wasn't it? That was top class.
Actually, I thought we're not going to top that. That was really good. I think we've arrived now. The next time, I think we'll view this, right, as the second part of the learning experience. But I think one of you certainly has got it anyway, right? No, Anne, we'll talk to you about whether we bring Roisin with you the next time, okay? But definitely you've got the gig. Listen, Anne, by the way, and we're now in a weird position where the listeners are acting like agony aunts to you, right? So people are all texting in saying, use anti-fog spray for the glasses.
Yeah, but what about the sellotape and the wrapping paper? Have they got any tips about that? I mean, this is ridiculous.
I've got to let it go.
Okay, can I say something else about glasses? And this works for swimming goggles too. Seeing as we are degenerated into this, right? If you do them with a bit of washing up liquid or some kind of soap product, but you don't clean them or dry them well enough, leave the residue of the washing up liquid, it does often stop glasses from
fogging
up. Sounds
like you'd be blind altogether then if you did that. But anyway.
Okay, well, look, you know what? Okay, this is no longer worth the National Airwaves. I'm sorry. No disrespect.
We also wanted to talk about buying presents for people and using Irish companies, didn't we? Bean and Goose
chocolate. Oh, yes, can I just say that? Okay. I have set up my computer and I have my room looks like a warehouse and I bought lovely things from Kios. Crisps and a Bean and Goose chocolate and everything I've bought
and
has come
many,
from Ireland.
Many, many other Irish great producers and everything else out there. Okay. Thank you very much. Roisin Mindell, Irish Times columnist. You did not disappoint me.
You raised the bar.
You did not disappoint me. Can I say you did not disappoint me? You definitely, you'll be back. You'll be back, okay?
That's fine.
To see about your one Irish Times, how are you? Listen, Roisin, Anne, thanks a million, both of you, and we'll take a break.